This is Joshua Sigourney, a 7th grade grandson of Sanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous plant-based aho. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be modern Asaga of Peru, the current political leader of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, from the present day out of Wahees of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. Folks, the scriptures say my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide. And then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files, and 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now, folks, I won't kid you. Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look. OCO, Ginalee, this is Blue Otter coming to you from Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniutikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
time evolves and comes to a place where it renews again. There's first a purification time, then there's renewal time. We are getting very close to this time now. We were told that we would see America come and go. And in a sense, America is dying.
Okay.
From within.
There's probably 1,000 of
because they forgot the instructions on how to live on Earth. Everything is coming to a time where prophecy and man's inability to live on Earth in a spiritual way will come to a crossroad of great problems. It's the Hopi belief, it's our belief that if you're not spiritually connected to the Earth and understand the spiritual reality of how to live on Earth, it's likely you will not make it. When Columbus came, that began what we term as the First World War. That was the true First World War when Columbus arrived. Because along with him came everybody from Europe. By the end of the Second World War, we were, in America, we were only 800,000. From 60 million to 800,000. So we were almost exterminated here in America. Everything is spiritual. Everything has a spirit. Everything was brought to you by the Creator, the one Creator. Some people call him God. Some people call him Buddha. Some people call him Allah. Some people call him other names. We call him Tongkashila, Grandfather. We're here on Earth only a few winters. Then we go to the spirit world.
Ron Paul says gun confiscation will lead to revolution.
The spirit world is more real than most of us believe. The spirit world is over 95% of our body is water. And in order to stay healthy, you've got to drink good water. When the European first came here, Columbus, we could drink out of any river. If the Europeans had lived the Indian way when they came, we'd still be drinking out of water because the water is sacred. The air is sacred.
Memo.
Our DNA is made of the same DNA as the tree. The tree breathes what we exhale. When the tree exhales, we need what the tree exhales. So we have a common destiny with the tree. We are all from the earth.
The memo adds, zero
and when the earth, the water, the atmosphere is corrupted, then it will create its own reaction.
understand.
Mother is reacting. In the Hopi prophecy, they say the storms and floods will become greater. To me, it's not a negative thing to know that there will be great changes. It's not negative. It's evolution.
Radio talk show host.
When you look at it as evolution, it's time.
Alex Jones Tuesday.
Nothing stays the same.
They analyze China's economic.
Sedan Darwin skrev sitt berömda verk om arternas uppkomst har vetenskapen varit övertygad om att människan härstammar från aporna.
We always say that might be your ancestor, but it's not our ancestor. He is a relative, but not our ancestor. You should learn how to plant something. That's the first connection. You should treat all things as spirit. Realize that we are one family. It's never something like the end. Just like life, there is no end to life.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which
put
means science
in here
or knowledge.
Dimitri
Ayurveda means the science of
and
life.
The angel told
Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit.
Are in America.
Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment
the
and
middle
good
of the
health.
Country.
While
some
pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell
the
them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories.
What they were.
This
they will
fact
bomb
has been
their
known
their
to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices.
But, you know,
we believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herb.us today and find out what this is all about.
We're going back to, like, 92. Yeah. He said,
that's about seed, that's about life. Seventh generation is about vision. It's about leadership, looking ahead. It's about responsibility. And seventh generation reminds you that you have responsibility to generations that are coming. And that you indeed are in charge of life as it is at the moment. Every generation has its time, and every generation has its leaders, and every generation has its heroes. Every generation has all of that. And when that generation passes, the next generation will have the same. They will also have their leaders. They will also have their heroes. They will also have their problems. And they will also have the continuing responsibility to look out for the next seven generations.
One, two, three. Done, two. All you gotta do is copy them.
You have to raise your own leaders. They're not gonna come out of the air. They're not gonna come from what you can see around now. You gotta start it just way a little plant grows. You gotta do that. Raise your leaders.
And how do you go about that, raising your leaders? Is that with the attitude?
Well, first of all, you have to observe that all children have a common leader. You watch children play, and it doesn't take you very long when you can see who the leader is. And now you have to guide that person. And you have to deal with that person. Then you have to recognize that that person really understands. And so maybe by the time they're a little child, whether it's a boy or a girl, you've been observant for 19, 25 years. It comes time to move and you walk in and you know who you're talking to. Because there's natural leaders. The most important thing I would think is that the leadership change their values from power and authority to responsibility. I don't think, as in the United States, they have a Bill of Rights, you know, that they added on to the Constitution of the United States. And I think that should have been a Bill of Responsibility, not a Bill of Rights. Because people talk about their rights, but they never talk about their responsibility. And leadership has got to have that above all. They've got to have vision. They've got to have compassion for the future. They've got to make that decision for the seventh generation. That's not just a casual term. That's a real instruction for survival. Every animal, every bird, every nation, every plant has its own area to be. And you respect that. You know, as we sit here and we look about us, there are these flowers. And no tree grows by itself. A tree is a community. Certain trees, certain plants will gather around certain trees. And certain medicines will gather around those certain plants. So that if you kill all the trees, if you cut all the trees, then you're destroying the community. You're not just destroying a tree. You're destroying a whole community that surrounds it and thrives on it. And that may be very important medicine for people or for animals. Because if animals know the same medicine, they use this medicine. Well, that's where we learned.
It was pretty cool.
We learned, you know, by watching animals. They taught us a lot. Where is the medicine? They tell you because they use it themselves. And then if you replant the tree, you don't replant the community, you replant the tree. So you've lost a community. And if you clear cut, which is what's happening in America and Canada a great deal these days, and I guess around the world, then you are really a very destructive force. And simply replanting trees is not replanting community. You lost a lot in the process. If you don't understand that, you will. And that understanding comes in a very difficult manner. That of the 100 dominant economic units in the world today, 100 largest economic units, and the keyword they use is units. 49 are countries and 51 are corporations. Now, you digest that for a second. What does that mean? It means that corporations are the driving force of decision making today. And corporations are not concerned with human rights. They're not concerned with human life. They're not even concerned with a proper wage for the people that are working for them. So what kind of decisions are going to be made on our behalf by this economic power? These corporate states, I call them.
We go to the old folks home after shift and
There's going to be hell to pay, as they say, for some of the things that are going on now. So I think that people have to become aware and become awake, and not. Power is always in the people's hands. They need to come of one mind, and they need to challenge the values that are being shoved at them today, because this has become a consumer society. It's driven by economics. It's not driven by common sense. It's economics.
But do old people have the possibility to work from common sense instead?
I was born with common sense. That's why they call it common sense. You know, I mean, you have common sense. You just got to use it. That's all. And you got to just evaluate what somebody tells you. You know, if you use your common sense, you say, well, that doesn't work. No, I don't think so. I mean, I remember when one of our chiefs, we had a group of boys who had done something bad, and they were sitting in front of the chief's council, and they were talking about, you know, who was the leader. And I remember the chief, an old chief, said, well, he said, you know, it's not good sense to follow somebody just because why? You can't give me an answer why you follow him, but if he were going to do something like jumping off a cliff, would you follow him? Would you do that? Use your sense. Use your common sense. And then he said, everybody should be their own leader. In other words, do your thinking for yourself.
I have no prior knowledge of the Watergate crisis.
So how's God going to talk to me in the latter day? And who's going to bring that book? There will be no excuses.
Now we see flames. We are seeing flames coming out of
the compound is on fire.
Stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluehour speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony. So it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future diseases. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathic are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man who invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Go to the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
Make some decisions, and I think that the leadership that we're looking for has to come from business. Very, very important now, because business carries more authority, and they carry the economics of the world. Today, we're bound together much closer than we were so many years ago, 1,000 years ago. We're neighbors, and we're bound together by electronics. We're bound together by technology. And the world has become, quote, a market. And it's this market that we have to deal with. And it's this idea of boundless and endless resources. And when you say resources, you're talking about our relatives. You're talking about our family. Fish are our family. It's not a resource. It's family. It requires all the respect. The structure of the world itself is such. It functions on natural law. And the natural law is a powerful regenerative process. There's a process of regeneration that continues and grows and is endless. It's absolutely endless if everyone agrees to the law and follows the law. But if you challenge the law, and you think you're going to change the law, and you're bound to failure. And then that failure will be a lot of pain, because the natural law has no mercy. It is only the law.
Did you know somebody here in town named Jackie Adams? Yeah, he got off a accident. My mom did have an accident. He's pretty good boy. He's a nice kid. That's the call. It's good.
The earth is all powerful.
Oh.
Wasn't made here for human beings. He said we're part of it. But we don't have to be here, because the earth has its own process. And if it becomes to the point where you destroy yourself as human beings and you destroy life and finally leave this earth, the earth's not going to disappear. There's not going to be an end of the world. That's really a very interesting concept to us. No, the world won't end. People's life on it will. So it's not the end of the world you're talking about, it's the end of us. And the world, no matter what damage you think you've done to it, will regenerate, will re-green, will redo everything that was here at one time, except there won't be any people. Because it's got all the time in the world. I said, now, as you're coming down the final stretch, you're racing towards the finish, and there is the stone wall, and you're not pulling your horse. You're not stopping. You're not, you're in fact accelerating. I said, now, that's the way I see the use of what you call resources. You're using them faster than they're reproducing. And you're headed towards that disaster, and none of you are pulling your horse. Now, to take the example of a car race or racing cars, they have a yellow flag. When there's an accident or something, a yellow flag comes out, everybody gets into line, they slow down, and they have sort of a common sense about that, at least. I said, do you have a concept of a yellow flag? Is there a yellow flag amongst your ideas or your thinking? And one of the gentlemen, and they were all men, maybe 50 to 60, 65. He said, you know, he said, I understand what you're saying. But to answer your question, no, we can't. We can't pull our horse, as you say. Because, he said, we have to show a profit. As a CEO, I must show a profit. If I don't show a profit, he said, I'm fired. Simple as that. I'm out of a job. I have to show a profit. I said, to who? He said, to you, the stockholder. I said, well, are you married? He said, yes, I am. I said, do you have children? He said, yes, I do. I said, do you have any grandchildren? He said, I have two boys. I said, when do you cease to be a CEO and become a grandfather? There was a lot of silence there, because that was a moral question. And if you don't have a moral question in your governing process, then you don't have a process that's going to survive. That's the governing law, the moral question. You must have a moral society, or you won't have any. He couldn't answer the question, neither could anyone else. Because it was a moral question. That's what we have to get back to. So they said, well, got kind of heavy silence there. So they said, look, you're an Indian. And we keep hearing about Indian prophecies.
Henry told me.
Can you give us a prophecy? Can you tell us a prophecy? And of course, I told him a lot, because I know a lot of them. But at that particular moment, I said, certainly I can. And I can guarantee it.
You got it.
I said, really? Well, what is it?
Chief.
I said, next year you'll meet and nothing will have changed. And again, there was silence. We're moving in a very direct line to that stone wall. I do not believe personally that we have passed the line or the point of no return. But we're approaching it. We're approaching it.
Always been there for me, Matt.
And every day that you don't do what's right is a day that you've lost an option. And you're losing your options every day.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of WiseFoods.org. Our native ancestors stored away lots of food in case of emergencies. Thousands of years of sad experience taught them to be prepared. The traditional Hopi stored food enough to last for 7 years. So did the early Mormons. Nowadays, everyone unwisely depends on supermarkets for their food supply, and some people know that there is only a 3-day supply of food in the American food supply chain. Now, should some disaster befall us that would cause the big trucks like I used to drive to cease delivering our food, we'd be in big trouble. It is for these reasons that my family purchased a year's supply of 3 different breakfast and 10 delicious dinner entrees from WiseFoods.org. These foods are freeze-dried right at the field where they are picked and processed, and are fresher and more nutritious than any supermarket food. You just add hot water, and they're good for 25 years being stored. A year supply from WiseFoods.org fits in an area about 4.5 feet by 4 feet by 18 inches. I can literally get it all in the back seat area of my Honda Civic. If you stay at home, you won't need to go to a FEMA refugee center should some disaster happen. Did you know that David Ramsey, David Gallagher, Laura Ingram, and Michael Medved have also invested in Wise Foods? Why don't you visit WiseFoods.org today and see why?
Everyone has a mission. And how can you find out about it?
You don't look for it. People drive themselves crazy trying to find it. But it comes to you. It's in your being. And sometimes people have to travel many, many years before they'll realize that they've been that way all the time. They just didn't recognize it or didn't know how to. They had been exercising it without being totally conscious.
He was asked a question, he said, well,
sent a messenger, and we call him in English the peacemaker, and he came and he again, he brought a message of peace. And the power in the message was, it was only words, the teachings, that compelled these people to believe and take up the way of peace.
When he first gathered the chiefs together on Onondaga Lake, which is not far from here, this great lake at this time, he gathered all the leaders together, and then that's when the instructions began.
So he would watch from the bush until he could discern who was the most powerful man in this village, this settlement, who was the one most feared, or who was the most evil and fearsome man here. And that is the one he approached when he found out who that was. And there's an illustration in every step of the stories as they are told. Illustrations of how we should live and how things can be if you follow the peaceful path.
Why did the peacemaker choose the most feared and most evil man?
Because the message that he was bringing was a message that was going to bring about these people who didn't know what it was anymore for a person to die naturally. Everybody just died from being killed by another human.
No one knows exactly how long ago, but at least 1,000 years, and probably more. But at least 1,000 years ago, this peacemaker brought this message to our people. Because we were in warfare, we were fighting, it was a terrible time. It's similar very much to what's happening in Bosnia now, where the inter-fighting amongst the people themselves was going to be what they call attrition. It was attrition. You never gave up, one side never got even. You kill, I kill, you kill, I kill, you kill, I kill. And he came at that time when we were in that kind of position, when the leaders were the strongest, not necessarily the wisest, when it was the strength that was in charge and in command, and the women and children were frightened of their own men. They would not be even in the same house. They would run and hide because it was so fierce. And it was at that time this peacemaker, this messenger, brought us this message of the great law, the great peace, is what it amounts to.
And so the message that he was bringing was a respect for life and thanksgiving for life and living things. And so these men, who were so feared by everyone, they enjoyed that life that they were living. And so it was not totally their vision that they should turn into such a peaceful person that no one would be afraid of them anymore. Finally, he accepted totally the message of peace. And so because he had been such a powerful person to appease him, he was given that very special seat at the head of the council that was now being formed. And he was going to be named the firekeeper of all these other councils who now became one.
And this was after he gave all the instructions on how to council. He gave the power and the authority and the responsibility to the different groups. He said the men would be responsible for the council, to use their good minds now. Instead of fighting, they would now use reason and law. Law would be the basis, and you'll use your mind and you'll not fight. And you will sit in council, and he said, we'll call this the Council of the Good Minds. And he said, and the women, who are fundamental to life, and female, as we all look around and we talk about the seed. Well, this is the female. Again, you know, you see down here, this is her work. Her work. I mean, without it, we all have seed. We're seed at one time. Ourself comes from the two, the partner, the male and the female. Everything you see here is in twos. Nothing is by itself. Nothing can move by itself. This is his instruction. And so the female carries life. She is fundamentally important. Without the female, there is no life. None. Ever. Anywhere.
And so that is the story of how the peacemaker, the message of peace that the peacemaker brought to the people, was able to convert these people into a peaceful society. And that's when the structure of all this leadership, this chieftainship, began.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means law, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
In the eyes of the government, Nate Felon committing a crime.
And we've been doing our best to continue that. And here I stand today as a member of the council that he set up so long ago with the same principles, the same mandate. But certainly in a different time and a different place. No less and probably more responsibility. And we look about for allies, we look about for friends, we look about for people who will understand and agree with those mandates of peace. And that is what we're talking about today, because that is the mandates for life. One of the other instructions that we were given is that we are now placing in your hands all life. And it is your responsibility and it is your duty to look after all life. And so when he was speaking like that, he wasn't talking about our aunts and our uncles and our cousins and our fathers and our mothers. He was talking about all life. He was talking about the trees. He was talking about the fish, the animals, everything that grows, everything with life, because it is a family. We are a family, all life. Our brothers and our sisters to the west of us, called the Lakota people, have a way of finishing their prayer with Thanksgiving, and they say, all my relations. And when they say all my relations, that is precisely what they're talking about. They're talking about all life. When we traveled and we talked with the Aboriginal people from Australia, they talked about the two laws. And when we questioned them about the two laws, they were talking about all life.
We give thanks for all of these. Every time we meet together, no matter how many or how few, the Thanksgiving address is given. It's an acknowledgement of the rest of living things in the creation. And it's a thanksgiving and our way of paying great respect for all of the rest of the creation, which we are only a part of this great big design for living. And if any one of the other components were to fall out from that cycle, there would be a great imbalance, and eventually it would collapse. It would be gone. We, as mankind, are the only ones who do not give to the rest of the cycle. For the rest of the cycle is constantly giving, giving, and giving. And we are constantly taking and taking and taking so that we might have life.
But even for American Indians, materialism and power has been very tempting lately.
They're human beings. I mean, everybody's human being. I mean, I look around and I see this pell mell run for gaming, gambling, high stakes casino. Indians got gold fever, just like the white man. That's what I look at it and I say it's the same thing as the white man. We used to laugh at him because he was so crazy when it came to gold. Now we look at our own people and they're running around with the same look in their eye. And I'll tell you, it's not so funny anymore. Peace is it's an everyday fight. It's something that goes on all the time. You know, we believe that ourselves are one half the negative, one half the positive. And it's the balance that's important all the time, to keep the balance.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluear speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony. So it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathic. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeeper.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
This is how we're going to raise money to get back. We're not going to ask Congress, we're not going to ask the White House or any agency or any grant money at all. We're going to go back the way we came by the goodness of the people. And I want to say that the people out there were very generous. They're extremely generous. We'd arrive sometimes late at night, and they would have been waiting for us 6-7 hours. But they did wait. They provided us with food,
lots
of food. And then as we began to cross the country, truck drivers were stopping, people were stopping, and offering us cases and cases of water. I know from that beginning, from the very fact that they did that, I know that the people in America are still good. There's still goodness in our people. No matter what this government does, what they commit themselves to do, engaging in this war or that war, or
they opened that door.
There are still some good people in this country.
Three guys.
We crossed 35 Native reservations. 35 people on 35 reservations from California, Arizona, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Louisiana, also in they're not state federal recognized, but state recognized in Alabama, also in North Carolina,
Virginia.
We met people who were doctors, physicians, lawyers, congressmen,
dispensaries,
mayors, governors.
Illegal activity.
It was
right
a good watch.
Here in jail.
And so we concluded it yesterday. And today's a celebration for us. But I wanted this headdress here. It took a long time to get here to Washington, D.C.
I'm just trying to hold on to you.
Buffalo Bill had the Wild West days going in Europe. He asked Native people from Minnesota and South Dakota to go with him. So many people, Ojibwe people, Lakotas, went with him and performed during what they call the Wild West days in Europe. And of course, they would have Indians riding on and headdresses, and they would do mock battles. But one of the Ojibwe warriors went over there. They asked people to bring their traditional dress, and my great-great-grandfather was one of them that went over there, and he passed away in Europe, and but they somehow the body came back, but all his belongings.
6 pounds of high-grade.
In January of last year, a friend of mine going through an antique shop and saw this in a glass encasement, and written in it was from the Ojibwe warrior Bagagizik. So I have it. He saw it. He said, "Dennis, he called me from Paris." He said, "Dennis, what is your Indian name?" I told him. And he said, "Is that Ojibwe or Chippewa?" Of course, he knows me only by Ojibwe. And said it was a Chippewa warrior. So 90 some years later, the headdress comes back, and I have chosen this day to wear it. Because sometimes you see Native people with headdresses on, they got regalia on, and this is what I wear. Jeans and a t-shirt, and I got running shoes or walking shoes. So I want to thank the drummers that came, and the singers, of course. A lot of dancers coming from different ways. Some of the dancers were with us on the longest walk. Chili, the grass dancer, was with us.
Also, actually, on the lower side.
Wayne Crew, he's here.
Let's see. The guy with a mustache, son of the, they did real well. They beat their limit. They beat their goal.
This is Jasa Sagonige, a seventh great grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the upper, middle, and lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous plant-based.
They knew exactly where the coal was. It was really rich, and they just piled up. And they said,
we're listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide Indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files, and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keeper's interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keeper's trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault.
Sergeant Mike Gilley and Detective Jason Jones have pulled over a suspicious vehicle on a known drug smuggler.
Get right here on the left.
You crossed into certain counties, and you know you're going to see drug interdiction, and they're going to be...
You can tell she's
not your wisdom.
Ginger, that's good for your stomach. I mean, real good.
Oh, let me taste it.
Real good.
I don't think I like the taste of it that well.
I got that way over here. Let me snap that. A little drop hit me right between the glass finger. Is that good? It's real good, Cole.
I guess. I can't really taste
it. Okay, folks.
Whatever.
It's really good. Ginger is really good for settling your stomach.
Yeah,
that's
a summary of what we're looking at this year. Northeast Oregon last year had a big year, so I expect their numbers to go down and our start climbing back up.
The Emerald Triangle is expanding north, heading straight for the
Emerald Triangle consists of basically three counties in Northern California, Mendocino, Trinity, and Humboldt counties, and is continually growing. There's a long history of marijuana drug activity in that area.
Well,
last year,
remember,
they had
to
put patrols, pack-powered rifles, and whatnot. They're making daily patrols.
I think they're going to do something.
Sheriff Mike Winters is facing a tidal wave of violence.
We started seeing law enforcement officers involved shootings. There's going to be traps. They're starting to guard these gardens with MS-13 gang members. They're all armed. They're ruthless.
These guys are in business. But Sheriff Winters is fighting back.
This agency alone has taken $1 billion worth of marijuana off the street.
And to help him win,
I'm so proud.
Winters is calling in the cavalry.
The
covers are used to hunt down and capture illegal marijuana growers. We rely heavily on air surveillance to locate these illicit growers. We're a lot more high tech.
Growers are start using missiles.
And his men take to the air to track down illegal growers. It's nothing to be taken lightly. I think a lot of people have underestimated what we're dealing with out there. This is big money to them, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to protect it and get their crop harvested so they can pick that crop and turn it into cash.
The team flies over several medical grows that sprang up after the laws allowing medicinal use went into effect.
I don't think people expected the ramifications of what's going on. I think it was underestimated how big this was going to get and how out of control it was going to get.
Here's a major one. We're coming up. I'll slow down here because of the big one. There's 78 some plants there.
He pinpoints the location of violators.
This is the city. Go ahead. You can see that one there. Right there, back here. Got it.
And now, Winters is about to unleash the forces in his battle against the illegal owners.
Those guys say the marijuana is just a plant, but it should be legalized. It's no different than alcohol. I don't agree with it. I've seen a decline, in my opinion, of America from great to good. I don't want to see a decline. I want to see it be the best it can be. Drugs are going to be the downfall of this country, and I'm going to stop them.
Bullshit.
You don't know
nobody ever dies from overdose of marijuana, ever.
Very dangerous. You know, without getting in an accident that causes police to come, it's the best way to ensure that I get the patients the medicine they need. I'm in a hurry, but not in such a big hurry that I want to get pulled over.
After 12 hours on the road, Mike Booten pulls up to a home in Redondo Beach. This is just one of many deliveries he'll be making in Southern California. But the guy who is about to receive Mike Booten's weed is not like other clients. He's a cop.
That dog not coming to greet me was a huge red flag. This is normal. This is my normal.
Next
up. Very limited time to get it.
Indoor
world.
Die for discovery. Mike Booten has arrived at the final stop of a drug run that has taken him down the California coast.
Really great indoor world.
Just like Booten's dad and brother, this guy is a cop.
I'm Nicholas, former law enforcement, 15 years NYPD.
Nicholas is a former narcotics officer whose life was turned upside down.
I have this disease called avascular necrosis. What it does is it affects the artery that brings blood to the femoral head of your bone.
Oh, God.
I had a doctor of osteopathic medicine. He said, "Hick, man," he goes, "in about a week or two, you're not going to be able to walk." And I said, "Come on, man." And 2 weeks went by, and I had a cane. 2 weeks went by, and I was in a wheelchair. And 2 weeks went by, and I was crawling out of bed to get to the bed.
To ease his symptoms of his degenerative bone disease, Nicholas turned to cannabis.
Cannabis moves blood. For someone with circulation problems, I had to move my blood quickly. That's what I did.
Which he chooses to ingest rather than smoke.
Tastes good and clean. Yeah, man. Good deal. If you smoke medical marijuana, you get 10 milligrams of the healthy medicine. Where if you eat the cannabis, raw, dried, 600.
What does it taste like?
Not a lot of people would allow
salad.
An ex-law enforcement officer into the collective, and I can understand that. It's unusual. But you know, I'm comfortable with it because I come from a cop family.
Hey, sir.
Sweet. He didn't come at me sideways. He came at me straight out.
Pay for that?
I'm an ex-cop.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. Would you like coffee? Yes. So basically, you do have that.
I'm feeling good, man, you know. The weather, it's great. Everything's falling into place. The garden's keeping me busy.
Busy's good.
Busy's good.
One of the reasons I'll spend 12 hours in a car and dodge cops and grow marijuana and bring it to people like Nick is because, you know what? When I see that he can even walk up steps now, I'm going to get down here and make sure he doesn't end up back in a wheelchair. Nick's a big part of the reason why we do what we do. In patients just like him. Cops be damned.
So empty. Back in Vallejo, California, Matt Shotwell, once the biggest marijuana dealer in the city, visits the site of his liquidated dispensary with his girlfriend, Soraya Moore.
Remember this?
Jukebox.
The jukebox. Right, I forgot about the jukebox. And
Soraya met me right when I was at my peak of my business game. She saw me at my best.
Morning, young lady. Welcome to Green World.
They were back in its heyday. It was cracking. There was the biggest medical marijuana collective out here.
Shotwell sold thousands of people medical-grade marijuana at a price of nearly $400 an ounce.
I got white Russians and I got
I really wanted to make a place where any patient would come by and they'd get anything that they needed to get. I mean, just about everything. It was a spot to be at.
How many patients have we had so far?
You know, what it takes, the stuff I usually buy, if it takes five hits to get you high at 150 an ounce, you know, you're willing to pay 400 an ounce to get high in one hit because it's economically better. It just works out better. But if you grow your own, man, you're just...
79 at 1:02
I was the band in downtown Leo.
But now, Shotwell is out of a job with an 8-year prison sentence hanging over him.
Omar said we got to find an expert. So we got to find an expert. So my lawyer, Omar, told me I had to get a cannabis expert, someone that the court recognizes, to go to bat for me and say he was doing this the right way.
Let's find one.
You know how many dispensaries we've got that are branches of the church you wouldn't believe? Dozens.
All right, cannabis experts, ChrisConrad.com. I heard he's really expensive, and Omar said he's going to cost a couple grand.
I don't have any money anymore. Everything's been seized, frozen, taken. So I need to find someone that would do it for me for nothing.
He's another cannabis expert guy. This guy.
He used to fit. Vietnam veteran suffering with post-traumatic stress disorder, Smith, 52, against medical marijuana. So he's up in Trinity County.
So me and Soraya were looking on the internet for a cannabis expert. So we come across this guy, B.E. Smith, apparently pretty world-renowned cannabis expert. Been to jail. I've been to jail. I think he might be a good candidate, so I got to go up to the woods and find him. The display case, look, they're all right here. You can still see exactly where they were. 7 grams of weed I sold standing right here. Going back through there with nothing in that building made me feel kind of like, I want my glory back. I want my name and my reputation.
More capable of doing bigger things. You cultivated this business in 2 years and you can do something else.
Look, the laws are going to change that. It's not always going to be like this. I'm not going to quit the game now.
You could be an expert.
I kind of want to be a consultant and use what I've learned.
Absolutely.
Show these farmers, maybe, how to get their pot out of their farms. Down here. I don't drive it.
No, same. That. You're still using the same.
It's like being a broker.
That's not what I'm saying. That you can do so many other things. He has a brilliant mind. He's an educated man. This isn't the only solution. I don't believe that he needs to be cultivating again in his business.
There's money to be made, and there's like patients that have been blowing up the Greenwell email and all the other clubs just don't have any pot because the farmers are afraid to bring it down.
You just need to worry about yourself, not you're facing criminal charges.
Well, do you have another suggestion of how I can collect an income? The answer I are not in agreement about what to do going forward. She just wants to move on and start some new chapter, but the delicate balance I have to do between not going to jail and providing an income, and there's money on the table, who better to do it but me, but she don't want it to be me.
To revive his business, Shotwell is going north to procure more than just a cannabis expert.
To do something now. There's a need to fill now. I can fill it, so I think I should.
He's heading to the Emerald Triangle to get some weed.
This is not something that I agree with, and you know that.
Pretty country up there.
Having avoided capture, Mike Booten heads home $9,000 richer.
So I haven't had any cell service for at least a couple hours now, and even if I did, everybody's out working. We're only a few miles from home right now, so I'm kind of excited, but I'm kind of hesitant.
Let's stop you and save your money.
Booten left his farm vulnerable for 2 days. His wife, Tawny, and their dog, Lassick, were left.
Well, I put my dog down, and then where I'm like, you know, it's
Jerry. Come around the corner, I'm going to start trying to take in as much information as I can. One of the first things I want to see is my German Shepherd. My German Shepherd's out and about, rolling. Everything's cool. Right, here we go. No German Shepherd.
That semi is his grow room. Just got done sitting there.
Booten arrives home to an eerily deserted farm.
Oh, my dog! You can hear that truck a mile down the road coming. Oh! Don't like this. Normal. That dog not coming to greet me was a huge red flag.
Look at me. Direct deep. Mike Booten returns from a 2-day drug run down south. His wife and his dog are missing. Booten fears that something's gone horribly wrong.
Yeah, look at him. Oh, wow. Finally out of pain.
Hey! You guys didn't hear me? Oh, it scared me. I expected you to be working. Last week could be out, and it was like quiet, no one around, no one answered.
They're hiding.
It's Fritz.
Hey! When I have the time, I'm a little scared, I'm like, it just happened. Yeah, you know, I get the red flags thrown in my face, and I don't really know what's going on, and I know it's not normal. The range of possibilities is anywhere from, you know, there was a police action to there was a thug action. If I came home and something had happened to my wife, I would just be lost. I got to get out of here. I'm wrong, man.
Come in there. You know, girl. I love you, but I need to go do this stuff.
I got some lips on.
He's thrown in jail tomorrow. I hope that he has a plan for himself outside of this industry, what he needs to do. I'm not going to support him a second time through this if he
You're a little dog or something.
He was the biggest. biggest marijuana dispensary owner in Vallejo, California.
Vallejo, Vallejo. The city of opportunity. At least that's what the sign said.
Now, Matt Shotwell is a disgraced businessman looking to restore his stature in the weed business.
It's just a business that can't fail. I've never seen a marijuana dispensary go out of business because it couldn't make money. Whoever's left standing here in Vallejo after this cannabis war stands to make a lot of money.
For growers and dealers like Shotwell, the road to a better life is tied up in a controversial plant.
Cannabis is a plant, but yet it's food, it's fuel, housing, it's freedom. And it's also ignorance, it's lies, it's deception. It's life.
The road is paved with untold risks.
Everybody who grows medical cannabis is in legal jeopardy. And I accepted those risks when I wasn't helping any children, so it would be ridiculous for me to shy away from them now.
So sweet.
I will stop at nothing. I'm going to get this guy out one way or the other.
The road is paved with worry and concern for a nation at war.
We just hate to see where America's going to go if we stay on the same path. There's a lot of money in marijuana. And
I'll lose my house.
I'll lose my reputation. I'll lose my entire life. And if the cops catch wind of what I'm doing, they could put me in jail. And that's a chance that I'll have to take. We went back in its heyday. It was cracking.
I was the first country in downtown to lay out.
We skyrocketed in less than 2 years to become the biggest, most popular dispensary in the entire county. And they just had to pull the rug out from underneath me.
Shotwell's lawyer has arranged a meeting with B.E. Smith, an icon in the cannabis community.
This guy's a legend up here. He's also took federal time.
Famous for making potent marijuana for over 3 decades, B.E. Smith is an example of what can happen when a pot grower challenges the law. He grew weed in his front yard as allowed by California law. The feds made an example. 32 federal deputies hauled him off to prison, where he served 2 years for cultivation.
When I get out, I'm supposed to be a grower.
The reclusive grower agreed to meet in a public setting.
You're a little paranoid when you're in this business. And I have absolutely no idea what B.E. Smith is going to say to me.
How are you, sir?
Good, how are you?
I'm all right. My name is Matt Shotwell. Thanks for coming.
My friend and attorney, Tom Blanco.
I'm really glad I got to meet you guys.
Oh, I'm good. And one thing you'll find when you talk to B.E. is that B.E. is a remarkable person. He is, remains the only person I've ever met who's read the California Penal Code cover to cover and the vehicle code and knows how those procedures work intimately.
All right. I got busted February 21st, 9:30 a.m. And I'm on a one-man mission to clear my name. To provide for myself. You know, I can't go back to the Merchant Marines, so I need a cannabis expert that can help me with my legal case. So that's why I came here to find you.
It's all up to you. You're the defendant, but you need to go on the offense.
I'm still learning the lay of the land. I feel like a duck out of water.
Government is fiction. You can control government. You can only do it through law. Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence. All the way back to the Magna Carta, back in 1415.
You know, I hear the words you say, but I don't really understand what we were talking about.
The only people who can make us free are ourselves.
Well, I'm ready. At a certain point in the conversation, he didn't really want to have a conversation anymore, which I thought was strange.
I can't stay in a place with a lot of people. I got PTSD from the Vietnam War.
Okay.
I got to get back home.
Okay.
You can't go to the hospital, man. It's a good place to start when you come up to my house.
He asked me to his house. I was kind of nervous about that. His farm is in the middle of nowhere. I'm by myself. So now I'm wondering, if something bad happened, what can I do to protect myself?
Come up and visit with me and we'll talk about your case more. You see my farm.
Alrighty. I'll call you up. Take care. Thanks, sir. The script has been flipped on me and now I gotta come up into their dispensary. The Emerald Triangle. I always had the power. Seen my green one behind the desk. I knew these guys were coming to me. I knew they wanted to sell me their product, and I was relatively safe behind my nice desk in my office. I'm in trouble.
And I hope that I'm not making a big mistake.
Well, I do thank
you. We're starting to get into an area where there's a lot of medical marijuana.
Sergeant Gilly and Detective Jones are heading to investigate a suspected illegal marijuana farm.
From here on down, it's going to get pretty heavy.
Though the area is thick with legitimate medical cannabis farms, Gilly knows that illegal pot growing operations often hide in plain sight amongst the legal.
It's done well, fair.
What did you take, honey? What did you take to feel better?
Oh, those different pills, I guess.
The tummy feels better?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. But by fans, it's good stuff. It's baby poop.
Grower Nate Morris returns.
When you take that stuff, your poop smells just like baby poop.
First time after meeting Catherine Jacobson and her son, Beth.
What a cute kid.
Ben suffers from 10 to 12 epileptic seizures a day, any one of which could take his life. When all other medical treatments failed, his mother tried non-psychoactive cannabis. It worked.
My major hurdle right now is the drugs. I don't know how to
take it. That I could definitely help him.
Nate is developing plants that provide him with an oil-based extract he could use to help Ben get over his seizures.
Awesome. When medical science wants to analyze the healing properties of a plant, step one is to chemically isolate one specific chemical and then test that chemical. To me, that's just a fundamentally flawed approach. If you're not testing that plant, you are failing to properly investigate that organism. You need to be a farmer.
But according to federal law, farming marijuana is illegal.
Everybody who grows medical cannabis is in legal jeopardy. And punishments for providing a controlled substance to a minor are extreme. I'm terrified of going to jail for this. But at the same time, there's children's lives at stake. You know, how do you knock it?
How many times does he want to say that?
We're going to come in from above. Blow the sun on our back. Blow the sun on their eyes.
Lieutenant Matt Thompson and Detective Don Adams are leading their team into the suspicious sight that was spotted from the air.
Here you have one on your left. Right about your 2 to 3, Rob.
You don't think they have your phone?
My name is Donald Adams. I'm a detective with the Jackson County Sheriff's Office. I've been with the Sheriff's Office for almost 12 years.
Adams must lead his team carefully. Growers routinely leave armed booby traps.
We did find where they had tied rattlesnakes to trees, and they cut the rattles off. So they obviously can't hear them. Well, there's no warning sign.
But Thompson, walking into a grow site is like stepping into a minefield.
There's a lot of dangers. All of these investigations, they know the lay of the land. You know, they're armed generally with long rifles of some sort. They're going to hold their ground and fight.
Frequented by hunters and hikers.
I tell you that
they were the enemy. And we're the ones between them and a prophet. Unfortunately, they don't distinguish us from the general public when it comes to the woods.
These marijuana grows around in public lands where people hike, they camp, and they hunt. It's very dangerous to the public.
Thank you, Mercy. So great to
these plants are my babies. Now they're growing and getting big, you know, so that you can grow like the bag.
For Tony and Mike, growing big outdoor plants means more pots and more profits. It also makes them a target to the police and to rippers, people who steal a grower's crop.
You okay, bud?
That's it.
What
you got? You guys look, I've been way too slow, just being a little bit too concerned about what I'm about, who are, what I have here.
A mysterious vehicle appears to be casing Booten's farm.
Hey, look, right at me. He seems to want to say, hey, dude, what's up? And he's just going to keep going. I'm not going anywhere. One of the most disturbing things to me is the car that drives by way too slow. You're just sending a red flag to me that you're trying to check me out.
Booten is concerned it could be a cop, or worse, someone who could do harm to him or his family.
You know, people who spend a little time in the spring, summer, and identify and locate marijuana gardens, particularly ones that aren't well defended or well guarded, and then they come back in the fall and they take the crop. And you could be robbed at gunpoint. And so that's suspect everything.
Hey!
Hey! Really, dude, I don't know what your story is, man, but this is like bizarre. The best I can do is put presents out that deters people who are just opportunists.
I think that's
here he comes right
now.
God, what's your story? What's your story?
No, would you do that? I don't think it's stupid.
Country folk don't act like that. Good men don't act like that. That guy pissed me off. Whether he's a fed or not, I don't care. I don't care who he is.
I'm too close to the road.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scary.
Wow, look at me. I'm doomed.
Take it back.
Far from his home in Vallejo, Matt Shotwell follows notorious marijuana farmer B.E. Smith deep into the Emerald Triangle.
I don't know, no side. Cliffs.
Shotwell needs B.E.'s advice on how to get his charges reduced. But the reclusive grower could be setting Shotwell up for an ambush.
Why?
So I'm driving up through the mountains. No one knew where I was going. I've heard these stories about the Emerald Triangle. This isn't one of those places you just go for fun. You can't just walk up to a bar, hey, can I buy some pot? Bang, you're probably dead. He's speeding up. Why is he speeding up like that? He had no reason to trust me. I could very easily be followed by a cop. I could be GPS tracked by the police. Or he could think that I'm an undercover myself. When you're in an illegal business, you're paranoid. Really wish I brought a gun with me, but I really wish I did.
He did.
Good. Fine.
He's
What do you think, Missy?
Sergeant Mike Gilley and his partner Jason Jones smell marijuana coming from the woods nearby.
We base a lot of our missions on picking up odors. Later in the season, it gets more prolific, the odors are, because plants start to manufacture resin. We find gardens that way quite frequently.
Oh, yeah. Got it.
Go ahead. Shit, 10, 20 feet tall in Kentucky.
You got all of this down here, and this here.
That's not over here.
This is the area where the snitch says to look.
Get in, though.
But what are you going to do with all your cannabis when you harvest? It'll go through my patients that I have that I'm growing for. And so,
dude, I would love to have a garden like that. How long have you been growing on this plot right here?
I started growing in 1979.
Wow. You've been growing longer than I've been walking on the planet. And what are the rules up here in this area? I mean, as far as county limits to grow?
Well, stay home. Doesn't have a limit.
They only caught me with 800 plants.
I think that they're going to try to scare me. Of course they will. All I can tell you is if you want justice, go to a whorehouse. If you want to get go to a courthouse.
You want to get fucked up before
I'm down in time because I'm out in front and they got to take someone down. I'm experienced at walking. I did Vietnam. You know, ain't no big deal walking for in America. Or I thought. One thing about liberties, you have to fight for them.
Walking point, we'll get down in front of your guys behind you.
They would show you how to do it.
I will not be satisfied until I'm whacking plants down.
The smallest clue could lead to a large bust.
See those valves in the roof?
There's a hell of water coming out of here. That line goes here, something down there.
Water lines disappearing into the woods are a dead giveaway. Gil and his partner are footsteps away from taking down the grub.
Should pick a hot day to do this, too.
I want you to read a definition of marijuana.
Marijuana, meaning all parts of the plant cannabis sativa L, whether growing or not.
Okay, that's not. So if you're growing indica, that'd be one of the defenses I would use in your case.
Cannabis typically comes in two forms, indica and sativa.
Huh.
Both have narcotic properties, but according to the laws as they are written, only one, sativa, qualifies as marijuana.
Huh.
I was growing indica.
You wouldn't grow marijuana anyway. Not according to that definition.
That's correct.
You see, you beat it by their own law. I would use it as a defense.
It was almost strange. It's a car battery. Looks fairly new, a marine battery. And there's money on the table. If I can be the person to bring that together, right now TryNeat.com for your 30-day free trial and say goodbye to all that paper.
This must be the next batch to sweeten up. Or it goes to the floor.
Sergeant Mike Gilley and Deputy Jason Jones sneak up on an illegal grub.
We have a water line going up there. Generator. Do you have the bear trap?
Booby traps line the site. Evidence that the growers are serious about protecting their crop and violent retaliation is a sure bet. But as they enter the camp, Whoever set the traps heard them coming and fled.
Just walked into his marijuana grow. We've got a drying station, a stove, a lot of chemical product, the fertilizer, a nice water pump to pull it from the creek below. You can see behind us, we've got the marijuana plants. And down here, we've got some more nursery, more starting holes here. These plants here are actually budding. You can see this plant here has got some really good bud on it. They're getting pretty close to where they're going to pull them.
Destroying the garden sends a strong message to the growers when they return to their camp.
I think we have somewhere around 100 plants.
With pressure from officers like Gillian Jones, another grow site has been taken down, but there's more work to be done.
We have a lot of other bigger targets to deal with right now. It's kind of snowballing in this county. And we'll get this one wrapped up and move on to the next one.
There's so many things that people assume in their mind when you talk about working on a marijuana farm. People think that it's a way to get rich, that it's a work-free drug place. There's no such thing as a lazy hippie growing medical-grade cannabis.
Growing cannabis in the Emerald Triangle is hard enough. Finding trustworthy help to run a marijuana farm can be just as challenging.
The last guy I had up here got himself arrested. The first chance he had to go to town, whether it's his fault or not, he ended up getting himself caught up in some police action, and now he's on probation. That put Tawny way, way, way behind at a very, very important time of the year. What are you guys doing?
Just waiting to see you.
Booten has hired Taylor. He's the 18-year-old son of Mike's friend, Bobby.
He's a kid who's never had a job. He doesn't really know anything about marijuana production, so I must impart as much as I can to him of everything that I've learned. Anything that I know this summer, I'm going to teach him.
I was so happy that you guys, like, number one, you, Taylor, like, wanted to actually come and do the job. And number two, Bobby, that you, like, trusted us enough that you felt like, you know, he would be safe here and that it would be a good thing.
Taylor's dad, Bobby, uses cannabis to ease his pain.
I had this major accident probably about 22 years back. Messed myself up quite well. I met Mike and Tony through a compassionate cannabis community, and we've grown to be basically family.
Wouldn't be here if I didn't trust you, but my two rule breakers are this: no lying, no stealing.
Taylor's known the business for a couple of years now.
Take this as a great responsibility, you know, treat him as if he's my own son.
He would. Taylor is 18. It was his decision. He's a woman. I am concerned that the cops may come in, and any parent would be.
All right.
I think that.
Everybody in the family has probably been left behind him 100%.
Oh, that's beautiful.
50 or 60 plants out here?
Yeah, about 60 now.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
So is there a reason why you don't do like 500 plants out here?
I'm not greedy, and I don't need that money.
Oh, okay. B. Smith's farm.
It's pretty cool.
There's money to be made here.
So B.
Yes, sir.
After all the patients get the medicine that they need, you're going to have a surplus?
I will probably have a surplus.
And there's some clubs in Vallejo that desperately need some medicine. So what do you think about after you have your surplus? You can go off and chat about maybe working out something mutually beneficial.
An early outdoor harvest is highly valuable, and Matt Sharp has an opportunity to cash in.
If you wait to give the surplus on the end, by then you'll have so much more competition when Croptober comes. Because once October comes and everybody else harvests theirs, they won't need it. I feel like we're good, and then you'll get $1,000 a pound for it. One strategy that I would have for you is that I could get it moved to you to some clubs that need it now. So you just think about that, because around September time, you're kind of...
It's okay, buddy. It's okay.
lives nearby.
Good.
And can't resist the chance to look in on B.E.'s early harvest.
Dine and Nate.
B.E.
Wow. He's on a very short list of people that I would call one of my heroes.
B.E. is a master at growing various strands designed to produce specific physical results. For Nate, this is an opportunity to compare B.E.'s plants with his own.
Certainly not going to pass up an opportunity to come visit and check out his genetics.
This is my tragic. This is my seed I started about 7 years ago. It's an Arcata train wreck bred with a magic male.
These strands are some of the best wheat on the planet, and there's certain strands that he's bred in with other strands. It's kind of a living science experiment. The prices were going ridiculous a few years ago. They're starting to come back up, but they're like super low.
Yeah,
like last year.
it was
getting nuts there
for a while.
Yeah. When I got into the business back in 1979, it was $1,100 a pound. When it went up, highest it's ever went up to 4,800 pounds. Yeah, now it's back down to 1,000.
I'd be okay with 1,000 or 1,500 pounds if that was getting passed on to the
patient. Exactly. Nate, that's exactly how I feel about it. Band your brother or the mailman's gonna take the business away from us.
Absolutely.
The feds are gonna want 50% tax every time it changes hands. Can you believe that?
That it contributes to a parasite on the system.
Exactly. Just have Wall Street.
Yeah, exactly the same deal. Brokers, middlemen, providers, caregivers. The blood's got to get from a farm to somebody's pipe one way or another. Patients need medicine. I depend on making a living out of that business. Some people agree with that, some people don't. I don't really give a shit. That's what I do, and that's what I'm going to keep on doing.
They can come out and buy private property and get blisters on their hands like we do.
Yeah.
More the merrier.
Oh, the deer love it.
Oh, good. Yeah. Unless you kill him.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Not really, but you know what? Come here,
though. Booten is worried about more unwanted visitors.
I want to start bringing you up to speed on something.
He is constantly on the lookout for thieves and cops.
I heard a little bit of unusual activity, so I just kind of came to survey what I could survey from this spot. I'm worried about somebody being able to drive in and just put six guys jump out. That happens. It's not your job to defend weed. It's your job to like run like hell in that direction. I'm not trying to be paranoid. It's just that catching us by surprise could be the death of the farm. It could be the death of somebody that I love. It could be the death of me. All right, so I want to go on a little instructional trip, start showing you some of the things you need to know about the road.
Cool, thanks, Mike. Taylor is learning all about farm life.